Hello, and welcome to Win Stupid Prizes, the show where we ask the questions that nobody else thought was worth asking. I'm Eddie, I'll be your judge, jury, and executioner this week, and today I'm joined by my good friends, Bear.
Hi, I'm Bear, the bear.
Jamie.
Hello, that's me.
And Alex.
I'm also here.
Thank you all for being here in these particularly troubling times. We're isolated, we're alone, well, we're almost alone, and there's sand everywhere. Because today, I want to know which fictional character would you want with you if you were trapped on a desert island? Before we get into this, I do want to point out, I will not be allowing characters that can escape immediately from the island. That's the one caveat I have with that, otherwise you can do whatever you want with your desert island and your fictional character. Before we get to our proper answers, I know that all of you have come up with a few characters who didn't make the cut, so I'd be interested to hear like what you started thinking about and where you went with that. Bear, why don't you tell us who was on your shortlist?
Okay, I'd like to give an honourable mention to Gizmo the Mogwai.
From Gremlins, the 1980-something classic.
I don't know when it's from, but yeah, from Gremlins. Now, my reasoning was, you may not know this about Gremlins, but there's a deep background lore.
Oh?
And Gizmo was actually made by a benevolent alien race to spread wisdom and kindness throughout the galaxy. Additionally, if I got hungry, there's a lot of water around, so I could just put some water on him and have infinite meat.
I mean, there's one obvious mistake there in that the wet versions that come out are evil and therefore are more likely to eat you, but I like where you're coming from.
Only if I feed them after midnight.
No, that's not true. They're evil with the water. They only turn green and slimy with the food.
They're evil, but they're not strong.
All right. Jamie, did you have any characters that didn't quite make the cut?
Right, well, I think I've come up with quite a good one. However, I don't think it was a deep enough well to plumb for this discussion. And that's Bugs Bunny. Because you see, if you add cartoon physics to the island, suddenly you can't die, and you'll survive until the rescue turns up. And also, he can, like, with a bit of charcoal or chalk or something, draw a shelter into a cliffside for you, and it's just there.
I mean, Bugs Bunny's good, but why not Wile E. Coyote? Like, he just has access to all this tech.
I thought about him. My issue there is he always fails.
There is another benefit to having Bugs Bunny around. If you ever need a laugh, you can just squash him out and he'll become Big Chungus.
Fair enough.
I think my main issue with Bugs Bunny is that I think he's canonically super lazy and only does things when, like, it's endangering him. I could be wrong.
No, you could be right there. I picked him mostly as a representative of cartoon physics in general, as the easiest go-to. I'm sure if I thought about it more, I could come up with a particular cartoon character who's more reasonable for the situation.
I like the idea as well that, potentially, if you get into the cartoon physics enough, he could just cartoon leg style push the island somewhere.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Eventually we'd get off.
That was just a throwaway idea, so let's not spend too long on it. Alex, did you come up with anything that didn't quite make the cut?
Absolutely. Death is going to be quite painful on a desert island unless you have a good friend. So why not make it not slow and painful and just bring in the alien?
You mean the alien from Alien?
The xenomorph.
The titular alien.
Okay.
It means a xenomorph.
Yes.
So this is what? A mercy killing route through this challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have the alien and the predator, but that's two things.
That'd be slightly just more fun, I guess, to watch.
Not for the person on the island.
It depends if they're busy dealing with each other.
Your death will be quick.
From the little I know about the Alien vs. Predator film, I know quite a lot about the Alien vs. Predator film. The Predator sides with the humans.
If I've learned anything from the approximately 2000s game Alien vs. Predator, it's the Predators and the humans fighting each other that causes the distraction for you to jump in as Alien and kill everyone else.
Is that the game where they forgot to add the AI?
That might have been in the later game iteration, which was not very well received.
Yeah.
I don't really like that your main concern there was the fastest way to not be on a desert island is to not be.
And the way you chose to not be was to get killed by the alien.
I mean, I'm a huge fan. You can get an autograph and everything first.
Get a tattoo.
There is a real chance that it doesn't kill you straight away and instead does the whole facehugger thing with you.
Only if it's a facehugger, right?
That would only be the case if it was the xenomorph queen or an egg.
Yes, but often in the films you see a character get attacked by the xenomorph and then wake up later in the goo wall thing with an egg nearby.
You're right, but that would break your rule of getting off the island quickly because you couldn't bring the queen and a normal xenomorph with you.
Yeah, because that's two characters.
So it would have to have dragged you away from the island to bring you to the queen to then be facehuggered.
That's fair.
There are almost certainly much cleaner and much less gruesome ways of dying, but they're not from a good film.
I think just like taking the Predator and just punching him would be enough. He'd be like, well, who's this guy? Stab, dead, move on. He's not interested in toying with you. You're nothing to him.
But isn't the Predator specifically interested in toying with you? Isn't that the Predator's whole shtick? They want to hunt everything that's scary, so maybe he'd give you a bunch of weaponry, send you off on the island, and then hunt you.
Then come after you, yeah. He'd want a challenge. The Predator would want a challenge.
I guess the Terminator might be a better choice here.
I like the Predator creating the strangest, like, single-player Hunger Games that we've ever seen.
So it just gives you all the moments, you run off into the jungle, and then, like, a wild boar just gores you immediately. And like, well...
The Predator's just there like, oh, for God's sake, you couldn't even take on the pig.
I don't know how to fire an alien rifle.
I don't know how to wield a spear, never mind an alien rifle.
The main technique, as with a lot of weapons, is you stick them with the pointy end.
Oh, yes, yes. You get the alien rifle and then you stab the pig.
Genius! I can't think of any better way to go on. Anyway, that wasn't even our actual answers. This was just like the things that you threw away in lieu of your better answers. I hope they're better answers.
I mean, if that was my best answer, then you'd probably be very disappointed in me and not ask me back.
I would not invite you back, this is true. So anyway, let's find out who you've actually picked. If you were genuinely trapped on a desert island with a fictional character, who would you pick? I'm gonna start with you, Bear.
I picked something from a series that's very close to my heart. That series...
is Barbie's Playland?
That series is Barbie's Playland. I've picked Barbie. That series is Animal Crossing, and those of you who know me are going to know how difficult it was for me not to pick Isabel.
You didn't pick Isabel.
I've not picked Isabel.
I mean, out of things, she wouldn't be too useful.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to go on an island getaway with Isabel, I think we'll have to wait for that. And it will happen, because I've picked Tom Nook.
Ah. Okay, I haven't played Animal Crossing, and so you've made a real choice given that I'm the judge this week. What I know about Tom Nook is that he owns a lot of real estate and sells it to people. He is a landlord, so bringing a landlord onto your island, I'm not entirely sure what his qualifications are to help you out here, so please explain.
So, up until March this year, you're right, we hadn't had a lot of experience seeing Tom Nook in this kind of environment. He's not exactly a landlord because he gives you a free house, and then when you've paid him back for it, he makes it better for you. You don't pay any rent, you don't pay any interest. You're just a stranger who's walked into his community and you have nowhere to go, so he invites you in. What a great guy. In March this year, Tom Nook invited me and many others on a deserted island getaway package.
It wasn't very deserted, there was like 6 people there.
During that trip, Tom Nook and I helped establish an entire island micronation. Tom Nook has first-hand experience starting from nothing and building up a whole community, infrastructure, houses. Tom Nook can take everyday repetitive survival tasks and make them chill. He's a master of gamification, which, again, if you know me, I really need that in my life.
That is true.
Yeah, okay.
By the time I've even started, like, looking around the island, I'm sure he'll have invented a whole fake currency just to motivate me. So I'll be going around the island, gathering resources, figuring out how to do food, and Tom Nook will be there the whole time, figuring out how to get me to do all the work for him.
Oh my god.
So what you're saying is basically you want a glorified self-help book.
I was going to say, like, a glorified slave driver, but okay, yes.
Yeah, what I've understood from this so far is that not only has Tom Nook trapped you on the island that you have now brought him onto, but also you're just going to reinvent capitalism.
On the island.
On the island.
Tom Nook is something of a community-minded capitalist. Maybe I would call him a cooperative capitalist. He is out to make the most money, but he's not going to leave everyone behind as he goes.
Here's my issue. How are you going to maintain Tom Nook's supply lines that where he gets everything shipped in to provide the stuff you need?
Well, Eddie did only say that we can't just leave.
But surely if you're having like airdrops of supplies, then they know where you are to get you out.
I'd like to see Bear's argument for this before we make that decision.
I've never known how Tom Nook does what he does. All I know is the last time I went to a deserted island with him, he gave me an axe, he said, go chop me down 100 trees. I brought him a big pile of wood, and he said, sweet, here's a house.
So not only has Tom Nook invited you to this island that he has then trapped you on, and then you've dragged him along, you're also relying on the fact that he can maintain his supply chains despite being trapped on the island. Like it's a plane crash or something. You've jumped out the plane, Tom Nook's right behind you, you land, he's like, right, you do all the work, here's some money for doing it. And you're like, brilliant.
Manually chopping down 100 trees with a hatchet is a lot of work.
No, it takes 3 swings.
Yes, I know it takes 3 swings.
I don't expect Tom Nook to have, like, a functioning Nookingtons when I get there.
Or, like, the airport.
All I'm really expecting from him is to set up a bivouac and somehow build a desk in it that he can start awarding me, like, arbitrary achievement points from.
The thing I really like about this argument is that Tom Nook isn't actually helping you do any of the work. He's just motivating you to do the work. In theory, you could create the same results yourself, apart from maybe he invents a bivouac.
You're right, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, because, like, my one is about covering my bases of inability, like, the actual things we're doing. Bear, obviously, perfectly capable, and therefore he just needs someone to get him to do it.
The other thing about this is, he does actually have a skill set, and that's in construction. So while I'm sleeping, he'll be upgrading my house. He'll move my house to a new location. I don't know how he does it.
I always assumed that that was him, like, getting his two... Are they his nephews?
His nephews. Timmy and Tommy.
Yeah, I thought that was him getting his nephews to do all that, and he was just still sitting behind the desk.
Tom Nook has been doing that for longer than Timmy and Tommy have been on the scene.
Yeah, but he's getting a bit old now. Come on.
I've got a slightly different question. Have you ever been anywhere near a construction site? Because I wake up to, like, neighbours doing work next door, and I'm quite a heavy sleeper. So, like, if you've been anywhere near a construction site ever, that shit's loud!
It might not be pleasant having someone build my house while I'm sleeping in it, but it's only going to take him one night every now and then.
To be honest, that's a good superpower.
I mean, he is very quick at building. I'll give him that.
I have another thing that's good about him as well. If we find other animals, he's really good at setting them up as well. So we can build up a community. Of course, the downside is the other animals are really only there for entertainment. No matter how big our community gets, I'm still the one doing all the work.
Yeah, and also it kind of cuts them off from being foodstuffs.
But at least I know that while I'm there, I can easily grow lots of fruit.
Yeah, because the trees just drop it every day.
And fish.
Yeah, okay.
But your long-term plan is to do even more work as more people get stranded on the island.
My long-term plan is to re-implement Bear Isle in the real world and make a haven for all my animal friends and physically, with a shovel, build a mountain that looks like a bear.
And also evict any animal that isn't a bear and then wait for actual bears to get crashed on the island and incorporate them into the village.
Unless they're a bear-like animal.
Okay, like a koala.
Or Isabel.
Speaking of kinds of animal, Tom Nook, in the Western releases of the game, is a raccoon. But in the Japanese version, he's a tanuki. Now, we know about tanukis from Mario and that.
Yeah, they can fly.
It's the only place I know about them from.
So you know that the tanuki is this kind of mythical beast in Japanese lore?
Yeah.
Did you know that the tanuki is a real animal? Because I only found that out recently. Not the flying version.
Not the Mario suit, yeah.
But there is an actual animal counterpart to the tanuki, called a tanuki, and it's a raccoon dog. And it's not really related to raccoons. Look it up. It's like, imagine if someone made a giant raccoon that walks around like a dog. If you're American, that'll sound scary to you. If you're from anywhere else, that'll sound cute.
It is just like a bigger raccoon.
It's got like the body of a llama.
A llama? I was going to say fox.
It's like a fox llama with a raccoon head.
So the viewers look up a tanuki, and then they have to imagine it standing on its back legs, wearing a cardigan, and sitting behind a desk.
Yes.
Isn't one of Mario's suits a tanuki suit?
The thing that turns you into the tanuki suit is a leaf with a hole cut out of it, the symbol of Animal Crossing.
That's quite nice.
Nintendo, you crafty devils.
So therefore, Mario is canon in the Animal Crossing universe.
The final point about Tom Nook is that, now, if I just picked Isabel, would probably have a good time until I ate her.
Yes.
Reasonable.
With Tom Nook, he's got the know-how to let me get set up in a real way, and by the time we re-establish communication with the outside world, we'll have enough of a town that he'll invite Isabel over and we'll get to hang out.
Right.
So your end goal here is getting Isabel as your island partner after setting up a village so that the fact that she's useless doesn't matter.
It's just one of the many benefits. Also, I survive this way.
Yes, that one's important. I'll give you that.
Oh, wait, survival? Oh, okay. See, I was kind of on board with this until you described a tanuki in real life, but on its back legs wearing a cardigan behind a desk, at which point I'm terrified of this creature.
Hey, that's on Jamie.
Nonetheless, if you can pop into Animal Crossing, I think this story is a wonderful idea, but if Animal Crossing comes to you, I'm terrified of this.
Well, it depends where in the world this happens, because in the West, it would just be a raccoon wearing a sweater. So maybe that's more palatable to you.
So if we're in the Atlantic Ocean, it's just a raccoon wearing a vest, and I can deal with that. But if we go to the Pacific Ocean, like nearer Japan and so on and so forth, that's when it's going to get creepy. So where the island is matters a lot.
I think it probably has some bearing. But you also shouldn't judge a tanuki by its looks.
You shouldn't judge a tanuki by its sweater.
I still can't get over the fact that in your original description, Tom Nook invited you to the island in the first place. He's like, you're stuck here, but you can bring one. I'll get you one person to bring with you. And you're like, all right, you.
I mean, Animal Crossing whatever camp, like the DS one. Like, you're going to camp, and then you're here forever. Like, there's no leaving camp. You're camping now. It's a summer never ends.
Ah, simpler times.
It's a summer of hell.
I love the like... I'm gonna trap you on a desert island, but you can bring one friend with you. It's like, you're coming with me. It's like, damn.
Oh no, the one loophole to my plan.
You're going down, I'm going down with you. Wait, no.
Now I have to make the island survivable.
Oh man, why isn't my answer Ed, just to get him back for this?
Well, I'm not a fictional character, and I did stipulate fictional, so you can't make your answer me.
Oh damn it, I forgot it was specific fictional.
My fanfic of Ed.
I think that's a philosophical question, whether you're fictional or not.
Bear, I know you. Could you survive on a diet exclusively made of fruit?
I would love to try, but probably not. But it would probably only be a few days before he figures out how to get me to make a fishing rod.
Okay.
And a grill?
You can eat fish raw.
Can, if your name is Smeagol.
Or Bear.
It's also really entertaining how your entire survival plan hinges on Tom Nook finding ways to motivate you. That's really good. And it sums you up really well.
It's a very Bear answer.
Yeah, I think you've given a wonderful answer for yourself. All right, I think we've heard quite a lot about Tom Nook at this point. Jamie, who did you end up settling on for your fictional character that you want to be stuck on a desert island with?
Well, similar to Bear.
It's Barbie as well.
Yes. No, I've gone on some magical journeys through the same device, the Switch.
Okay.
However, rather than an island full of like animal friends, loan shark, raccoon and everything, mm-hmm. I've been enjoying Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
And this is the first Zelda game where Link actually has to survive in the wild rather than just go off on an adventure. I think Breath of the Wild Link has the perfect suite of abilities for surviving on this deserted island for as long as we need to until we're saved. And yeah, there we go.
So your aim is for long-term survival using the titular characters, I mean, Link.
Yes, as in, yes, Zelda, Link.
His boyfriend is a fish prince.
His boyfriend is a fish prince, yes.
Link's, but hang on.
So you've probably got some rescue potential.
At what point in the game is Link?
As far as possible, he's one. I don't want to hold Link away from saving the world, so it should probably be afterwards, in the gap between Breath of the Wild and the upcoming Breath of the Wild 2.
Right.
Is this the island where Link loses all of his gear?
That was what made me think of this. There is an island in the game. When you go to it, you lose all your stuff, and you have to start from baseline and build up again. And that helped me realize that Link would be perfectly suited for this task.
Right.
That's fair. He could destroy a big giant monster with starting from nothing. That's a good point.
Yes.
It's interesting that, again, you have picked a game that I haven't played.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So we're two for two on that.
You've got to play it. Get yourself some Breath of the Wild. You would love it.
It looks fantastic as a game.
So, on a desert island, it's important to get a source of fresh water.
Yes.
Often that involves boiling.
Yes.
How are you planning to carry this water? Because as soon as you make a pot, Link's smashing it.
Okay, I've already thought of this. Link has a set of runes on his Sheikah Slate, and one of them is Cryonis. He can freeze it, and it stays frozen permanently until he breaks it or makes 3 blocks of ice. And there we go. We've stored our fresh water.
You've thrown about 4 terms at me that none of which make sense to me as someone who hasn't played the game.
Yep.
So, a Sheikah Slate is a Nintendo Switch that Link carries around to help him adventure.
Of course, so he brings a video game, he brings entertainment with him. That's good.
Yeah. And every now and then, he goes to a Nintendo download station and unlocks new content for his Switch.
Yes.
Brilliant.
I will go through why these are helpful. Some of them aren't. As we've mentioned, Cryonis, it freezes ice into like a quite a big block, so we can store quite a bit. So there's clean water storage. We've got Stasis. If there's any particular creature on the island that we struggle with, he can just freeze it in time, and then we can deal with it. Also, you can start getting clever with physics then, because you can like freeze a thing in time and then hit it, and then when he unfreezes it, it goes flying.
How long does the time freeze last?
It's like 3 or 4 seconds.
So when you say if you counter a big monster you can't deal with, you've got 3 or 4 seconds to run away.
No, to like stab it. Because all of the forces you apply to it while it's frozen all hit it at once at the end of the stasis.
That would help you as well, for example, if you needed to cut down a tree.
Well, Link could just use a weapon to chop a tree in like 3 hits.
Yeah, but if you freeze the tree as well and hit it like gently with a stick a few times, then it'll be a much bigger impact.
Yeah, so that helps with all those kind of things. We've also got magnesis. This one I don't know if it's very helpful, but if there is components to whatever we crashed in that are made of metal, it could be useful for the manipulating them. It's basically he's Magneto from the X-Men.
Ah, 2 characters in 1.
Yeah, then we've got bombs. He can generate bombs from his mobile phone /switch he's carrying.
Just pull them out of thin air.
Yep. And he can use this to break things that we need to break, to open up caverns for us to shelter in, potentially as traps because they're remote bombs, they're not timed ones for like creatures that could hurt us and so on. So we've got that. You could also, if there's a boat going past, you could like set up some bombs to blow up to try and alert it to get it to come and rescue you. Another one, he's got a camera so we can record our fun times on the island together.
Since when did Link just have a camera?
Since Breath of the Wild.
Why?
He can take selfies.
Oh, of course, yeah. Selfies, of course.
Yeah. So we've got a camera for that. And finally, for fun when we're bored, because I've bought the DLC, he can summon a motorbike.
That can't possibly go wrong.
Is that Mario Kart?
It's the bike that he gets in Mario Kart, but it's actually from the DLC, where if you beat the DLC, he gets a motorbike that's powered by just chucking junk into the engine, and it burns the junk, and now we can like do wheelies on the beach.
Wow.
I've got a small problem with Link.
Yep.
And that's with Tom Nook. You can have like a conversation. You can do something.
I'm ready for this.
With Link, absolutely no. Link, the only word he's ever said is "Hiya."
Well, here's the thing. That's actually incorrect.
He also says "Here."
You see, Link. It is shown in the game where he explains things to people. It's just the gap is left blank for you, the player, to fill that in. So canonically, Link talks to the people who's around him, just the game doesn't capture it. There's like a diary entry from Zelda that mentions like how he's quiet, but he explained why he doesn't talk much to her. So we can have the quiet moment chats. He won't be like very vocal all the time, because he's quite a quiet guy, but you can have the chats when it's important. And to be honest, I would really not do well with someone who's talking at me the whole time.
I find it funny that you described him as a quiet guy, but the only experience that I have from Zelda games is him constantly going, like every time. So like, he's not a quiet dude from my mind.
Maybe you want Link from the series.
Oh, I do not want Link from the TV series.
Well, excuse me, princess. Yeah. Have you seen the fish in Breath of the Wild?
What do you mean by have I seen them?
Here is one of the things that Link is really going to do to help you.
Mm.
He can use Cryonis to step a few steps into the ocean, and for some reason, fish are deathly terrified of Link's whistle, and they will just swim directly up onto the shore.
Even without that, it does facilitate acquiring fish anyway, but yes.
Yeah. And if you get enough food supplies, then you could go on a very dangerous journey across 3 blocks of ice to cross the ocean.
Yes. Oh, it's climbable ice. Importantly, it's ice that you can somehow climb.
Right, but you might just slide off.
Yes.
On a downside, though, Link loves to cook.
Mm.
But as we know from Brian David Gilbert,
shout out,
not all of his cooking is very palatable.
Well, here's the thing. Comparing the food that was in that video, it doesn't look anything like the food that comes out of Link's cooking, so there must be something he's doing with that food to make it into the wonderfully... Like, it comes out on a plate when Link does it. He's got some magical techniques in cooking. He can turn, like, 3 disparate ingredients into a full meal.
Presentation is a much different skill than cooking, though.
Maybe he's had some behind-the-scenes tips from Cooking Mama.
Yes, yeah. Nintendo characters do help each other when they're, like, between filming. We've also got some other points.
Can I briefly go back to the motorbike?
Yes.
When he inevitably lets you have a go...
Yep.
And you... Do you know how to ride a motorbike? First question.
I mean... This one's magical and it, like, stands on 2 wheels without you doing anything.
So what I'm hearing is no.
There is no traffic for you to mess up with whilst you're learning.
But it's on sand. There's trees and stuff around.
I have driven. Is that the right word? Driven. Like, little kid mud bike things.
And I'm sure they translate one-to-one.
Yeah, well, this is basically a dirt bike.
My follow-on concern was, when you inevitably, or maybe you won't, but, like, if you crash and injure yourself, what are Link's medic skills like?
Well, his food physically heals your health.
So you crash on the motorbike. Horrible crash. Massive. Millions of broken bones. You don't even have millions of bones. You invented new bones just to break them.
Yeah.
And he feeds you this questionable meal.
Yeah.
And you spring back up.
He can also cook up potions.
Okay.
That's important.
Yeah.
He can make a lot of food, but it's probably only potions that have magical healing effects.
Okay.
Yes.
He has the magic ability to heal when eating food, but you might not.
Yes. But I have a secret.
Oh.
I am far too timid a person to actually try do wheelies on the beach with that bike.
Is this the Link that has already won? Because from my experience, about 99% of Links die from silly accidents.
It is, because there's a sequel coming up. Canonically, he survived.
Okay, it's the canonically surviving Link, yes. Not the average Link from any individual instance of the game.
Just throwing the question in games like this, is Link immortal? Because if every time he dies, he just respawns, is that actually canon? And if Link can go and see how far it is to swim to the next island, doesn't make it, respawns on the island.
Again, fish husband.
There is actually an important point about that. Breath of the Wild Link does actually die in water if he spends too long swimming. Other Links, however, teleport back to shore and just lose some health.
Yes. But this Link, if he falls into a bottomless pit in the inevitable Sheikah shrine that we find on the island, he just reappears at the entrance because he's Link.
Of course.
However, I would say that no, he's not immortal, because canonically, he never dies, and you're just loading your game. It does say game over, it doesn't reset it back automatically.
Okay. I do have a question about the Sheikah shrine thing, though. So if Link falls into a particular bottomless pit, he just reappears at the top of it.
Yeah.
What happens if you fall into this bottomless pit?
I'm not going in the Sheikah shrine.
All right. We'll see about that.
Also, some of them don't have bottomless pits, so I guess I'd let Link go in and discover if it was safe.
You better hope that the blood moon doesn't rise while he's in the shrine and you're outside.
Yes. To be honest, I could go down into the Sheikah shrine and just stay in the bit next to the elevator while he explores the shrine, and I'd be fine. Because none of them have immediate dangers the moment you go in.
Did you have more positives to list?
Yeah, so, okay. Next up, Link, if there's something up at the top of, like, a huge cliff, he can, like, climb for 2 minutes or something up sheer cliff with no handholds without falling. Because I've obviously maxed out his stamina bar.
As long as it's not raining.
Longer if he's got some food with him to eat while he climbs.
The old eat and climb strat.
So he is perfect for exploring, getting to high vantage points and everything. He's also got access to... he's got a spell called Revali's Gale. So he can, like, just shoot himself up into the air real fast to get a good view of what's going on around him. So he's perfect for scoping out the island and finding what the resources are.
I have one criticism that I think is damning. You're on Link's side, which means he's not going to kill you.
Yes.
But you're also in the same place as him for a long time. So he is going to constantly Revali's Gale you. He's going to constantly roll into you. He's going to hit you with clubs just to see your reaction.
I will admit, I will have to put up with this, but in all Zelda games, Link can't physically harm his allies.
Yep, he won't harm you, but it'll be really annoying.
But this is the plan, right? Link's the perfect survivalist, right? He's out getting the food and everything. I don't need to bother with that. He's out building the shelters and stuff. So I've got some time on my hands. So to distract him, and this is going to a point that you brought up earlier, if I'm ever, like, annoyed by him doing this stuff to me, I will find some clay and I will make some pots and bake them in the sun. And then whenever he's annoying me, I'll just, like, get a pot out and distract him with it. And he'll smash it, and everything will be fine.
So you want to be the Tom Nook in this scenario?
Yes, basically. That's why I found it so funny that Tom's motivating you and I'm motivating Link.
I was going to ask, and I think you've kind of answered this now, but I'm still going to ask it. Link, as you said, is the perfect survivalist. He can find food, he can explore the island, he doesn't really die, he can create shelter. Why does Link need you?
Well, see, I'm a good NPC in this world. I'm not a monster, and I've never tried to destroy the world. So Link, as the inherent hero, wishes to save me, because he helps all the good people he comes across. The only people he ever tries to make not survive are the villains.
So you're the Zelda in this scenario?
Yes, basically, I'm Zelda.
I think you're wrong about that. However, Link is a consummate completionist, so if you tell him getting you off the island is a quest, he'll do it eventually.
That is a good point. Yeah, making me survive will make a Sheikah shrine appear.
Is that what you're telling him?
Yes.
I mean, just like chop down some grass ahead of time, pick up the rupees that drop from the grass and be like, oh, there's a reward for getting me off the island. Don't tell him what the reward is. And so when he gets off the island, like, here's 10 rupees.
I'll put them in the pots.
He might be mad, but, like, at least you're off the island.
Link is always happy to receive any reward. If you look at him, like, holding the things out in front of him, he is incredibly happy.
Here's 3 rupees. Yes!
Yes!
Sometimes he is actually disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it's bound to be sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, like, aren't there chests where you only get, like, 1 rupee and he looks a bit, like, disappointed?
He's still fine.
There might be, I cannot remember one.
Maybe that's in another game. So a much better reward to motivate him, just while you're on the island, take some leaves, take some bark, take some wood, whatever. Make a mask.
Oh, that's ideal.
It's a unique item.
Yep, it's a unique item. Yeah, I like it.
Link goes mad for any unique mask.
Actually, when he gets me off the island, I can give him the Zelda shield that I designed as a craft project at school when I was like 8. And it'll be a unique shield.
And it'll break after one hit.
And it'll break after one use.
You're going to turn this into the longest escort mission of all time.
You are using the only Zelda game that's had breakable items.
Yes. It'll take him a bit longer to do his stuff, but he'll get there. Oh, tree branches are weapons to him that he can kill creatures with.
Quite impressive.
But isn't there a hard limit to the number of tree branches if he stays in an area?
I'm going to go with the island is big enough that when he's in one area, the other ones will respawn.
Either that or you're really dependent on there being a Sheikah Shrine so that he can get out of the zone for things to respawn.
Yes.
All in on that Sheikah Shrine, baby.
There is the ability to sit down at a campfire and wait, which causes things to respawn, I believe. So I'll just make a campfire and he can, like, skip 8 hours for us.
Here's the awkward thing. If you accidentally skip several days and he hasn't provided you with enough food supplies and you're reliant on him for food, he just sits down and goes into like a trance for 3 days straight and you're just like, I have no idea when you're waking up. You didn't communicate any of this with me.
That's a much more Geralt of Rivia play than Link play, honestly.
You just have to walk around the island while Link is in like a trance.
I just get everything set up ahead of time. It should be fine. And to be honest, he'd probably just reload a save if he messed up the quest. Also, one last point. If there's anything dangerous on the island, Link's like a master combatant, so he can fight it for me.
And that's the one thing that I do trust Link to do.
Yes, out of everything.
Alright, so Breath of the Wild Link, the perfect survivalist, as you put him. But let's see. Last but not least, Alex.
Hi.
What fictional character would you like on a desert island?
Well, I think I've got a fictional character that is literally just better than Link.
Oh.
So I was going to originally go with the cleric from Dungeons & Dragons, just any cleric. But then I realised, hang on a minute, the ranger has a spell called Goodberry. And Goodberry says, up to 10 berries appear in your hand and are infused with magic for the duration. A creature can use its action to eat one berry. Eating a berry restores one hit point, and the berry provides enough nourishment to sustain a creature for one day. So, right off the bat, a level 1 ranger has just food. And then I got to reading all the other spells that the ranger can get, including Secret Chest, Tiny Hut, Revivify, which allows you to revive someone just by looking at them, Teleportation Circle, and Transport Via Plants. Transport Via Plants being that you choose a plant and then you can go to any other plant that you spent time with because you're a ranger, you can do that. They can make demiplanes, they can burn you with a hellish revute, they can dispel good and evil, they can dream, so if you're having problems getting to sleep, they'll just cast a dream on you. And most importantly, they can cast a spell called Black Tentacles. So if you're ever lonely and bored...
Oh no.
I feel like that would be lethal.
It does do 3d6 bludgeoning damage, and I don't think I have 3d6 bludgeoning hit points.
If they roll poorly.
What? 3. I think 3 damage could take me out.
If you need a good time, just trust in them rolling poorly.
And again, knowing from my previous answers, maybe just dying is fun.
You heard it here first.
They can raise me from the dead afterwards anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What level is this ranger?
A 20th level ranger probably makes the most sense. They've got lots of experience with the world. They've got lots of great stories. We can probably do some RPing, you know.
Does a 20th level ranger risk you breaking the rule of being instantly rescued?
Because of the travel through plants.
I assume that any of that doesn't work with the rules of this universe.
Okay. This is, of course, a D20 system. So I've rolled a D20 and you have a 6th level ranger.
That's how that works.
That is how that works. I really like the idea that you are the DMPC in this scenario.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Just like a one-player campaign for this level 6 ranger.
Hey, guys! It's me, Alex! You have to keep me alive!
Is this a 5th edition ranger?
This is a 5th edition ranger. Yeah, there's some crazy stuff in 5th edition. I think once you become a powerful character in Dungeons & Dragons, though, you just get astral forces and you've got silly magic items that can do crazy things.
Yeah, I'm just not used to rangers casting spells.
A 7th level ranger spell is Conjure Celestial, so that's fun.
I think it being a 5th edition ranger is important to you as well, because if this was a 4th edition ranger, you'd be a minion and only have one hit point, so you'd probably die by accident at some point. But in 5th edition, you'll have a few more hit points, so you'll be able to heal after.
The DM will have to fully stat you up.
If you stub your toe and roll a nat 1 and take 1 damage, you'll be fine.
Again, they do have a resurrection spell.
Does your level 6 ranger have the resurrection spell?
I don't know.
But they've got the Goodberry spell, right? That's level 1.
A criticism of the Goodberry spell. This might be solved by your higher level ranger, but assuming you're just relying on the level 1 ranger who does get Goodberry. To cast Goodberry, you need to use up a sprig of mistletoe.
This is true.
So how much mistletoe is there on this island? And are you going to be able to live for long enough? While each good berry sustains you for a day, they run out after a day. So you need a sprig of mistletoe for every day on that island.
This is true, but rangers can cultivate things. And they have locate animals or plants, which allows them to find the sprig of mistletoe. Again, needing a bit of fur from a bloodhound. But again, we'll just find some bloodhounds as well. Like, we're living dangerously here.
This island is a full D&D kingdom.
Just becomes a fetch quest that travels backwards. All right, we need to find mistletoe to get good berries. We need to find a bloodhound to do that. Okay, to find the bloodhounds, we need to find a small mouse. Okay, to find the small mouse, we need
you've,
the leg
you've
of a
got
spider.
It. Fantastic. This is my new D&D campaign, to find the components for the spells to get trapped on a desert island to start with.
I have looked up where mistletoe grows, and it does say that European mistletoe grows in temperate regions all over the world, so it is possible for mistletoe to grow on a desert island.
They also have conjure animals, so you can just conjure the bloodhound.
Oh, easy.
That's fine.
To find the mistletoe to make the good breeze.
So this is a really good answer, as long as there's mistletoe present.
As long as there's a little bit of mistletoe that you can start cultivating into a proper mistletoe plant.
How long does that take to grow?
I'll find out for you. I've got mistletoe facts right here. Mistletoe doesn't mature for 3 to 4 years.
I think we start with some mistletoe, and then they're also rangers. They're good at hunting. They can just cast create animals, create 4 deer, and then kill them. It's not very nice. It's not very ranger-like of them.
But they can't cast create mistletoe.
I would argue that rangers are only particularly good at foraging and hunting animals in their favored terrain, because a ranger in their favored terrain gets twice as much food. But if they're anywhere else, they're no better than anyone.
You better hope that they pick desert island as their favored terrain.
I mean, they'll start scouting out the island. It will become their favored terrain very quickly.
So what you really want is a level 5 or a level 9
paladin.
Ranger, so that when they gain enough XP, like farming fish on the island, they can pick an additional favored terrain type.
But unfortunately you got level 6, so actually you've got to wait the most time.
I do really like the idea of having a high level ranger who's got no spell components with them, and you have to work your way up just trying to find what you can on the island.
And that probably would be a good survival game,
which might be doable.
Let's make this campaign. We're going to start a new RPG podcast tomorrow of a survival game where you start with a high level character, and actually that sounds like you could probably just cheese it very easily.
Yeah, there's probably some really basic component that just skips everything.
Or you pick any arcane character and you get to do an arcane focus and just not have spell components.
This isn't really a criticism, but I do enjoy that the ranger is notoriously considered the worst class in 5th edition, and that's the one you're like, they're gonna keep me alive.
I haven't played 5th edition ranger.
Neither have I. I just, like, I'm aware that's the general consensus.
I had no idea that that was true, so hello Dungeons & Dragons fans.
Welcome to our well-informed podcast.
I'm just looking at the wiki and having some fun here.
The moment that you said that you're picking ranger over cleric, that's when they all went down to the comments.
Hello, welcome to the comments.
And just started typing like, it's really, cleric would be so much better.
I hear their clacks already.
Clerics can often just be like lawful good boring people, and that's a bit boring. Like,
oh, I was going to ask about alignment, don't worry.
Oh, I was going to bring that up as well.
I think it's unbelievably cruel to take a ranger with you, because who plays ranger if they're not going to be a beastmaster ranger and be all about their animal companion?
I have no idea.
So yeah, rangers have animal companions. Like, why else would you want to be a ranger? Now, mechanically, maybe that's not the strongest choice you can make, but who doesn't want a cute possum or some kind of big turtle as their friend?
I mean, I played rangers in Guild Wars 2, and I hated my pet, so...
So you've said, I can take one creature with me. You who live for the companionship with your animal, come with me alone.
I don't know if that's necessarily the constraints of this question. I think this question very clearly said, I can take someone with me. It didn't say what the other person could do.
What's to say that they can't find an animal companion on the island?
Yeah, exactly.
But then they'd have to change animal companion, abandoning their friend who's left back on the mainland.
I think it would be a great tragedy. I don't think this is a criticism that needs to be solved. Just think about that poor sad animal left at home, and the poor sad ranger stuck with you.
I have a question here. You just picked a D&D ranger.
Sure.
So what happens when you pick the ranger and it's a lawful evil ranger or a chaotic evil ranger?
Classic murder hobo.
Yeah, it's just a murder hobo player who just like stabs you on the beach, loots your body, and then goes off to survive the island by himself or herself.
If he really wanted to do that, then he wouldn't have many people to play Dungeons and Dragons with.
That's why it's a solo campaign.
The only rangers that survive to level 20 are the ones that actually play the game.
What if it's what his character would do?
Oh, fuck.
It's done. You're dead. So the real question here isn't what alignment is the ranger, but what alignment is the person playing the ranger?
Because let's be honest, there are a lot of groups of murder hobos who have really good friendships with each other and go on murder hobo adventures.
And the GM's okay with it.
I'm not okay with it.
It's not a bad way to play if that's what you want to play with everyone.
I do not.
No, me neither, but...
Yeah, I don't want to play them either, but...
Well, sorry guys, I guess I'll just leave.
But if everyone wants to play it and you're having fun...
My assumption was that I wasn't choosing a random one selected from
fair.
A grab bag of rangers that appear in the ranger shop.
I think it's fair that you've selected a ranger that isn't going to turn your skin into a water skin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, going back to my first answer, if I did, then I die quickly.
I really enjoy that you've gone with a similar strategy to Jamie in that you're a quest object. You're not actually helping. They're doing all the work. You're just like the quest completion criteria.
Well, yeah, of course. So why else would you be stuck on a desert island? That's a stupid question.
Yeah, Alex knows one spell. It's Summon Ranger.
No, it's Charm Ranger.
So Alex casts Summon Ranger. The ranger appears and the DM's like, ha, ranger. You got summoned him. You have to save this person.
We've got to add, other than a quest, why would you be stuck on a desert island? To a list of stupid questions now.
You've been summoned by the deck of many things.
Alex, you're ranger.
Yeah.
How are you going to help deal with their tragic and traumatic backstory and help them overcome it while you're on the island?
Conversations. We're going to have lots of flashback scenes. So this is actually going to be like the midpoint of a campaign where the ranger takes some time off to be on a deserted island, really talking about their feelings to their lovely companion in lots of detailed flashback scenes. And then the flashback scenes are going to be the meaty part of the campaign, which has all the other players in and playing the other characters and stuff like that.
And then the back half of the campaign is after the island.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, roll me a survival check for your ranger. Oh, no. Alright, I think I've heard enough. We've all made some good arguments. I really enjoyed that some of you went down the using a survivalist to help you survive, and then we had the alternative of, I'm doing all the surviving, I just need to be motivated down that road. Which makes it a real contrasting choice I've had to make here. But I've actually decided that I think the most unique approach and the most down to the core of who you are has got to go with Bear choosing Tom Nook.
Oh my god, you guys! I finally won something!
But there isn't much point in asking stupid questions if we can't win stupid prizes. So congratulations, Bear. Your prize this week is, appropriately, a 25-kilogram bag of sand!
Oh my god, I can take the island home with me! Yay!
Congratulations, Bear. Thank you for joining me, guys. It was a fantastic time. It's not that you wouldn't survive. It's just, I gotta go with the Nook.
I did it all for the Nookie.
For the Tanuki.
Oh, wow. Is that why he's called Nook?
Oh, the Tanuki. Tanuki, yeah.
Tanuki.
Tom Nook.
Tom Nook.
That's probably right.
Thanks for listening. If you want to check out more of the stuff we do, head over to hexagorgon.com. That's hexagorgon.com. We're also on Twitter @hexagorgon if that's more your speed. Thanks again. See you next time.